This is the Wheeler Centre podcast, and in this episode, we're going to hear from Con Karapaniotidis speaking at our 2016 Gala Night of Storytelling. The theme, The Book That Changed Me.
Hi, my name's Con Karapaniotidis. I'm the founder and CEO of the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre. Thank you. Okay, the book that changed my life, it was a tough choice. It was between Tony Abbott's Battle Lines and the book I came up with, written in 1961, called Strength to Love by Martin Luther King. I came across this book when I was 14 years old. I'm going to start by just reading a few passages, and I'm going to talk about what it meant to me. We must make a choice. We will continue to march to the drumbeat of conformity and respectability, or will we, listening to the beat of a more distant drum, move to its echoing sounds? Will we march only to the music of time, or will we, risking criticism and abuse, march to the soul-saving music of eternity? More than ever before, we are today challenged by the words of yesterday. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The ultimate measure of a man, and I'll modernize it, and a woman, is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. The true neighbour will risk his position, his prestige, and even his life for the welfare of others. In dangerous valleys and hazardous pathways, he will lift some bruised and beaten brother to a higher and more noble life. And it's this paragraph that most stays with me, 14-year-old me and 43-year-old me. Hatred and bitterness can never cure the disease of fear. Only love can do that. Hatred paralyzes life. Love releases it. Hatred confuses life. Love harmonizes it. Hatred darkens life. Love illuminates it. I come across this book as a 14-year-old kid going to one of the shittest public schools in Melbourne, coming from a racist little country town, and I come across the book that didn't just change my life, but kind of saved my life. There I was, 14-year-old me, as hairy as a Yeti. I had a film crew from National Geographic follow me going, "How we have found him." This book found me at a time where I was in such a deep and dark space. 0 to 14 was basically captured in a series of moments of being told to F off and to go back to where I came from. Being bullied on a daily basis. Just not fitting in anywhere. And I wanted the world to just swallow me whole. I would look at myself when I'd come home and go, "You are a worthless, unlovable human being." I would hide in the library at lunchtimes because I was scared of just being bullied, or just scared of walking around the schoolyard where no one would look at you or talk to you or smile at you. God knows no girl would ever do that. I felt so lost, and I was so desperate to fit in. And I kept asking myself, why are you making it so hard on yourself? Why did you know to shut up? Smile to the stupid things that you're hearing. be racist, sexist, mock the strange kids that don't fit in. But I didn't have the nerve because I kept looking at those kids and going, that is me. And I hated myself. God, I hated myself. I couldn't fathom the idea that I could ever experience love. And I was so desperate to conform. And I find this book. 14-year-old me finds this book. And here's a man talking about that the greatest, most beautiful thing you can do is honor your integrity, is honor your inner voice, is honor your spirit. That the most magical and beautiful thing you can do is never compromise who you are. And instead of it being this fragile, shameful thing, it's this extraordinary, unspoken thing of beauty, of power, of possibility. He was a book, he was a man telling me that, caring about the world, even at that tender age, aching at the world, seeing that injustice, because when I would see it, I would see myself in that, that was a thing to aspire to, that being restless, being angry, being idealistic, that when teachers at 15 told me to drop out of school because I would amount to nothing, I would be nothing, I could give nothing to this world, that I went back to that book and remembered that maybe there was something greater, that maybe everything that people were telling me. Remember the words, can't just get rid of that fire in that belly, give up that idealism, that precious gift of fitting in would be given to me. And washed away would be all that insecurity and fragility and vulnerability. What this book taught me is that the vulnerable is the most beautiful thing. And it saved me because I couldn't see a way out. And being honest with you, struggled with it through my 20s and got to my 30s and thought, enough. Enough. At 18, what saved me was taking all of that passion and giving it to the community. If I'm really uncomfortably honest with you, it was this. It was sitting there and going, if I can't have the world love me, then maybe if I give it back, at least that's kind of meeting it halfway. And maybe I could take all that hurt and that anger and that hatred that was consuming me, and maybe I could do something beautiful with it. Then maybe I could lead with love. That maybe all of that ugliness in fact was not ugly, but was transformative, was powerful, was magical, was beautiful, was me. And that's what I did at 18. I just went out there and found people who had nothing. At uni, I still couldn't make sense of things, but there I was working with homeless men at 18 years of age, and these men were welcoming me into their bosom like I was their firstborn. I thought, I finally found my place. A place I belong and a place I make sense. At 28, I start the Asylum Seeker Resource Center a year after losing my father. In those moments of knowing what it's like to come from nothing, of what it's like to have grandparents who are refugees, what it's like to watch your parents struggle and sacrifice everything to give you this moment in time. And then when you lose your own family, that you know at the heart of it all, the only precious thing is that. And this book inspired me to dream. This book inspired me at 28 to think I could set up a refugee organization with a group of students and we could change the world. This book, 15 years later, keeps inspiring me. It keeps pushing me to know that it is a wondrous and beautiful thing to be compassionate. That idealism is the gift of seeing what you fear and believing that you actually deserve it. That we look at the world and see it as something awful and go, it can be beautiful. And we make the daily ritual and commitment that we're going to transform it so. That's what this book meant to me, did for me. It's a beautiful thing to always hold on to who you are. It's a wonderful thing to be idealistic. He was a man at a time of segregation, in the shadow of slavery, sitting there and going that he could see his four daughters free and equal. And I looked at him and thought, how could a man have such an imagination? He lost his life for such an imagination, for such a vision. Think, well, if you're not risking it, and if you're not standing for something, then what the hell are you doing with it? I want to finish with one little thing, which is, today is the anniversary of the Stolen Generation Apology. And I'd ask you to do something with me. When I count to three, I'd like you all with me together to say sorry three times. Please do this for me, with me. One, two, three. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Let us be proud that we are on our Aboriginal land. Let us be proud that we are connected to the oldest living culture on earth. And let them stay our newest Australians and be proud of them too. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Wheeler Centre podcast. Don't forget to visit wheelercentre.com for the best in books, writing and ideas from Melbourne, Australia and the world.